Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
We're devaluing the word great if you follow up with Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, most of the bowl predictions I've seen are projections, I guess, for ASU. They have the Sun Devils in the Vegas Bowl against, I've seen Minnesota. I think I saw Wisconsin earlier today. Couple out there projecting them to play in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego.
Vegas, baby.
But that's about, you know, I went to the Vegas Bowl once to watch ASU, and it was, and I went as a fan, and it was the coldest I have ever been.
And, are you serious?
And I've gone snowboarding when it was like negative 12.
Okay.
But you're at least wearing equipment, you know, snowboarding equipment, and it's not like a, it was the wind, man. That stadium in Vegas. What are you laughing at?
Are you any good at snowboarding? I mean,
I'm decent. I can't.
Don't just give me the pie in the sky.
I'm not going to be like on the X Games, but okay. I mean, I can go down the hill.
Okay. I mean, are you doing any tricks at all?
Minimal tricks.
Tricks.
Okay. I like to go fast.
Do you call them that, tricks? I mean, what do they call them in snowboarding?
The good snowboarders call them tricks, yeah.
Tricks. Okay. Yeah. See, probably. Look at how cool that is. Just pick that right up.
I don't even know if I'm right.
I had no idea. It was just natural to me.
I mean, I can do like, you know, a 900, but that's it.
Speaking of tricks, though, would it be a trick to go to the Vegas Bowl? Would it be a trick? Do you expect that to happen for ASU? Because that's where I think they're headed.
Well, the one time I went, like I said, the wind just goes through, because it's always right around Christmas. I think it's the 30th this year. And we got in, we missed the opening kickoff, and they were already down 7-0 when we went. They were playing Boise State. So,
man, that is a great. Is it the December 30th?
I think it's
the
30th.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's either 30th or 28th. The Holiday Bowl is the 28th, and the Vegas Bowl is the 30th.
Oh, I love that, man. I love that. In between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No travel time in between to mess your holidays up. Yeah. That's perfect. I love that.
Right before the New Year's bowl games is when ASU does their bowl work, apparently. You know, overall, though, 8-4 this season, not a bad season. I think we need to start here with the Herm stuff. If they just went 8-4, it would be disappointing because of the talent they have in the conference, just the overall strength of the conference right now. But still, 8-4 is respectable. For me, it is 8-4 with the investigation kind of hanging over the program, and I do think that's impacting recruiting, which is what they've been so good at. And it just, you don't really know what the direction is now. I think that's the hardest part as a college football fan, is not knowing what direction your program's going in. Now, Herm was asked that question after the game, and so this was his message to fans about the direction of the program.
But we're continuing to build, and that's what we're trying to do. And that's the great thing about it, when you have an opportunity to build it. And it's been a process. It's been 3.5 years, basically. The COVID year, you can count it as you want. I don't know if that was a whole year or not, in 4 games. We've been here 3.5 years. We continue to try to get better. This is the first year that I've actually won 8 games in the regular season, and the team has won 8. Now we have an opportunity to maybe win 9. That's always a good thing. Go to a bowl. We've been to some bowl games, not the one that we'd like to be in. You know, we want to get in that championship game. We want to play in this Pac-12 South. We want to win the Pac-12 South. That's you know, we want to do that. You know, that's one of our goals. That was always our goal.
See, that is one of the reasons why it's so disappointing right now, is because I really did believe ASU had the talent to win the Pac-12 South.
They did.
And I'm not alone on that one.
I still believe they have the talent to win the Pac-12 South.
I get what you're saying. But did they? No. Of course not. They didn't. And that's the problem. And I think of how disappointed I am, and yet I don't want to overreact, because I do believe Herm Edwards has done a great job in terms of recruiting, but I can't say he's done a great job in terms of winning games. And the reason being is because, again, 8-4, I think for the most part, that's what a lot of coaches could do at ASU, is 8-4.
Yeah,
I think the talent. See, here's my disconnect. I see 10-2 talent. I see 11-1 talent. I see really good talent, and you're 8-4.
you're 8-4, and you know he started that clip right there by saying we'll continue to build. I don't doubt that that's his plan. And again, I really like Herm as a person, and I think he could be a really good college coach, at least in terms of recruiting. But now recruiting's up in the air. Like it's I'm sure it sounds weird for me to say this because I went to ASU. I don't look at this investigation as like, oh, ASU did something horrible. They weren't paying players. They were apparently recruiting when you're not supposed to recruit, which right. doesn't excuse it. But right. I don't look at Herm as like, oh, you're just this horrible cheater. I just look at him as like you were oblivious, which you can't be. But when you're talking about building the program and continuing to build it, I mean, the last couple of recruiting classes have been very impressive. The one that's upcoming is just kind of like, yeah. it's not there yet.
Well, and you can see why.
Yes, and that's the thing. Exactly. So is that going to change?
I don't know. But here's the one thing I have come to a conclusion on. I want to see Herm Edwards next year in 2022. I want to see him. Listen, if there's any type of discipline, any type of ruling that is going to come down in regard to the football program and the fact that they were recruiting players on campus during dead periods, again, I don't know how big a deal that is, but to me it's just shocking that you would be you couldn't have known. You couldn't have known it was a dead period, right? Who would do that? It's so obvious.
But that doesn't make it any better. I mean, again, I don't look at it as like, oh, Herm's a cheater and this and this and this, and he's a bad guy and he's trying to cut corners. I just, if the investigation shows that that's what happened, I'm going to look at it as like,
no,
he didn't have enough attention to detail, and you got to have that.
You got to have that. If somebody told me, and I don't know this to be the case, based on means, but if somebody told me, because I do love Herm, and the man that he is, the character that he has, if somebody told me that he wasn't aware of a dead period and was trusting other people to actually know that, I'd believe it.
Yeah, I would too. And it's tough to even really talk about because we don't know what the investigation's going to show. But the bigger picture is with Herm, my confidence was always in that he would be able to recruit. I didn't know how he would be as a Saturday coach, middle of the game, okay. You're up by 21-7 against Utah, and if you just hold on in the second half of that game, you're going to the Pac-12 championship.
Yes.
And instead, you get outscored 28-0 in the
yes.
second half. That was the stuff I didn't know what he would be like. And so now you're telling me the only thing that looks like it's changing right now is it's going to be harder to recruit, which was his strength. So again, if you're an ASU fan, I don't know how you can be excited about that news.
Here's the whole deal, though, based on the two recruiting classes that he's had. Bring him back next year. Maybe Jaden Daniels comes back.
That's the real question.
And maybe Jaden Daniels comes back. And why wouldn't you come back? After the year he had, talk about a year of decline. It was not great for Jaden Daniels. I love the kid. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan, believer in Jaden Daniels. He reminds me of Randall Cunningham. I'm just going to say it. He reminds me of Randall Cunningham. He's smooth and he's long and lanky, and yet he's smooth. But that doesn't make you a great quarterback. To me, I'd love to see him get one more year. Bring him back his senior year. Come back, Jaden Daniels, knowing you'll have your coach in Herm Edwards. And I'd love to see one more opportunity to go out and win games with some of the recruiting classes that he's had over the last couple seasons.
Well,
those classes will be maturing.
A lot of these guys are going to leave. If Jaden does come back, you got to hope you get the Jaden that we saw his freshman year, because if Lincoln Riley is going to be in USC, next year is probably your last chance to, I shouldn't say last chance, but it's going to be a lot harder even starting next year, but especially when Lincoln Riley starts to get his players on campus at USC.
It's not going to be in 2022.
No, but he's going to be coaching there, so it's going to get tougher next year for ASU and everybody in the South. All right, coming up, Cliff Kingsbury spoke to the media today. We will give you some of what he said about that Oklahoma job and the Bears game that's coming up on Sunday. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Wolf and Luke.
All right, the Suns off tonight, getting a little bit of a rest after their 15 games in 26 days. 15-0 run, 16 straight overall. But to go, we were talking about that stretch, just how condensed the schedule was for the Suns in the span of 26 days before they went into it, Wolf. And we're like, all right, this is going to be a challenge. At the time, they were 2-3, and they proceeded to win all 15 games.
Just incredible what they've accomplished. I know when they got to double digits, we were like, oh my goodness, that is incredible right there. That's longer than even the bubble, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
The bubble, of course, and
they've doubled the bubbles. They have doubled
the
bubble.
Of course, even the playoffs, the 9-game winning streak in the playoffs where they won 9 in a row and all of a sudden 10, and you were like, can they get to 12? Is there any 14? 15, now here it is, 16 games in a row. Phoenix Suns are just simply on fire, one of the best teams in the association. And what I love about it, one of the best cultures in the association.
Yeah, this is going to be a great matchup tomorrow night for, look, it's the two best teams. So you've got 17-3 against 18-2, a combined 35-5. That's pretty good. For winning 16 in a row, the Suns still don't have the best record in basketball because Golden State's 18-2.
That's incredible.
You mentioned culture, and the Suns have built that culture, and it started, I think, when Monty got here, but they've been building it, and it really took off last year when Chris Paul was here. Although I do think they forged a lot of it in the bubble, actually, but and that was before Chris Paul was ever here. But Golden State, they've got culture too, and a lot of those guys that are still on that team making the plays were part of winning title after title after title. So I do think a lot of nights the Suns either go into a matchup and they have a huge advantage because they're the more talented team, or they go in and have an advantage because they have a better culture, or they have the experience from last year. All of those things.
Or because they're just tougher than you are.
Yeah.
I mean, again, just stop and think about that. The Phoenix Suns. It's one of the things I love about talking about this organization. Is how tough these players are. You know where that comes from. It's Chris Paul and it's Devin Booker and it's Jay Crowder. Guys like that that are these grizzled veterans now. Okay, I know that Devin Booker is still 24. I understand that, right? But at the same time, think about it. This guy has grown up before our very eyes. When you want to talk about tough, Devin Booker is the place I start. He epitomizes everything that this culture wants to be, right down to gratitude. I respect and love Devin Booker for how he goes about his business as a pro.
Well, now you're looking at a team in a matchup for the Suns. They don't have a lot of teams that are, I don't want to say they're equal. Maybe they're equal. That are going to be able to equal them talent, experience, culture. You mentioned the toughness. Golden State's a little bit different than the team that won title after title after title.
Yeah.
But Golden State, you go into that matchup with the Warriors, those advantages you have over 90% of the league, it's pretty even at that point. Anything could happen tomorrow night. The Suns, would anything shock you? I mean, if the Suns went out there and won by 12, I don't think I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
If Steph just goes out there and just hits 9 threes and Golden State wins by 8 or 9, I don't think I'd be shocked. These, to me, are clearly the two best teams in the NBA. And, it's funny because for the longest time, the one thing I really hated about the NBA is there were two or three clear best teams every year up until like the last couple years. And now it's like the Suns are one of those teams, so it's not so bad. I see the logic, the way that works. The next year would have what? I mean, that would involve Brooklyn, and I would assume Milwaukee will get there at some point. But right now, it's the Suns. I'd put Brooklyn in there, too. I mean, they've got Durant and Harden, and it's Golden State. And the Suns just beat Brooklyn. Now they have a chance to beat Golden State, and they play them twice this week.
Yeah, that is a weird thing right there. The one thing I know I'm not going to do is overreact. I'm not going to overreact to watching the Suns and what they do tomorrow night. I'm not going to do that, Luke. I know that, boy, we're going to want to. You're really going to want to. You're going to want to overreact because it's not going to be about winning 17 games in a row. It isn't. To me, it's not, oh my goodness, look at the Phoenix Suns and how many games in a row they've won. No, I'm talking about this is the matchup between Golden State and Phoenix, to your point, the two best teams in the league. That, to me, is what this game is going to be about. Not the winning streak that the Suns had, But the game against the Golden State Warriors, the first game against the Warriors, and what does that mean? Because we're going to want to read into that one game and overreact. Either way, if they win or lose, and I'm not going to do it. No way. These next three games and how many that they play?
Three of their next 12. The third one is on Christmas Day. So you know they'll play them Tuesday and Friday this week and then Christmas.
Okay, Christmas right there. Boy, I'm going to be busy on Christmas Day.
Yeah, you've got a football game.
Yeah, I've got a football game and, of course, the Suns game. I'm going to have to watch that. After that third game, I think we're going to have a much better idea as to how these teams match up.
Yeah, and that's the other part of this. And I mean, we were going to talk Cardinals here. We got so caught up talking about the Suns. We'll do Cardinals when we come back. But, I mean, this team's won 16 in a row, and they're playing Golden State. And you're talking about not just the two best teams, but you're talking about two very fun teams to watch.
Yes.
I mean, is there a more entertaining team over the last decade than Steph Curry and the Warriors when they're on? But, man, the Suns are getting pretty fun,
Suns
too.
Suns are really fun to watch.
And you look.
And that's the one thing, too. That is the common denominator between these teams. When Golden State was winning championships, when Golden State was really, really good, what was it about them that nobody talked about? It was their defense.
Yeah.
It was their defense that made them studs. It was their culture on the defense. They were much tougher than anybody gave them credit for. And it was because they had so much flash.
Well, because you can just have Steph line up from half court and just hit a shot. If he feels like he's being covered too closely, he'll just back up. But, I mean, Devin Booker's coming into this game with, what, 97 points, shooting well over 50% in his last three games. He can absolutely get hot and take over a game. You're going to see, I think, two teams bring the best out in each other. Chris Paul still doesn't have that ring. He can't win it tomorrow. But I'm sure he looks at Steph Curry as one of the main guys that has prevented him from winning it in his career from his time with Houston. So there's, you don't even need to stretch at all to find storylines for this game, and it's a regular season game. But to your point, we're going to see it three times in the next basically month, and I think we're going to know a lot more then, because if the Suns go 0-3 or 3-0 against Golden State, then I think you can react a little bit. Doesn't mean anything for the playoffs necessarily, but I'll be honest, if they go 0-3 against the Warriors, which they won't, or if they go 3-0, which they probably won't do that either, I'm going to overreact after Christmas. If they go 3-0 against the Warriors, they have the best record in basketball after what they did last year.
Yeah, all right. I see your point.
I'm just telling you, I'm going to overreact.
I mean, 3-0, all right, if they go 3-0, see, I'm focused on the process, Luke. I'm not focused on the end game.
I was when the segment started.
I'm focused on the process.
I just got so carried away.
Let's take it one game. I said I wasn't going to overreact to one game.
Don't overreact. They haven't even played it yet, and I'm overreacting. All right, text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, we really, really will talk Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury has spoke today, so
man, you took that and ran.
I just started going with the Suns, and all of a sudden it was, yeah. What does Cliff have to say about the Chicago Bears and the Oklahoma Sooners? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Wolf and Luke.
All right, we won't get too sidetracked if I say this, but did you see Robbie Ray is now leaving Toronto to go play for the Seattle Mariners?
Yeah.
That's it.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, just, you know. Now, when I hear Robbie Ray's name, it just hurts that it's another former Diamondback winning Cy Youngs.
Cy Young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Cliff Kingsbury spoke today. And, of course, you know, there's a couple different ways you knew this was going to go. They're going to ask him about the Bears. They're going to ask you about your 9-2 NFL team coming out of the bye week. And we can start there. We can start with Cliff being asked when he flipped his focus from, okay, it's a little bit of downtime, there's a holiday, to we got Chicago coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I try to get up to the office every day except Thanksgiving, at least in the morning, and just stay locked in, stay dialed in. Them playing on Thanksgiving was nice because Friday we had the film in and could break it down and get ahead as much as we could, which will allow us to install a lot today and try to have a bonus day with our players, actually having the game plan installed.
See, that tells me right there they're going to go ahead today, and they're doing the game plan today. It is a bonus day because there was no game, of course, to review, no game to go over. The bye week, of course, bringing them in today, that is very, very cool. I don't know. Did he say anything about giving them off tomorrow? Did he say anything in that cut? I didn't hear that.
I didn't see anything there.
Something. No. Okay. To me, I would not be surprised at all if they got right back on schedule, but had that bonus day being today to actually start the game plan.
Well, the other thing with this team right now, and I think a lot of us believe this, okay, you got the bye week coming up. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins have not played since the Green Bay game on October 28th.
Man.
Surely they'll be ready, right? It's November 29th, and the game isn't for another 6 days. So, you know, look, you know, Cliff, you know he's going to come out and say definitively they're both playing, right? That's how Cliff rolls.
I'm hopeful. I'll leave it at that at this point because I want to see him move around and practice full speed and see where they're at and their comfort level and their confidence is.
Cool.
You know, it really isn't just the fact he doesn't want to provide any aid, comfort, or shelter to the opponent, which is a big part of it, trust me on that. But it's also the fact he really doesn't know. You know, stop and think about it.
Yeah.
He's got to see. He does have to see how they practice.
No, that's fair. But the thing is, I think on Friday, we're still going to be hearing, well, we'll see how Kyler looks on Sunday morning.
Yeah, right. I seriously hope that isn't the case.
I'm
not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's not going to be the case, Luke.
Yeah. Well, and look, the Hopkins thing, I know with the hamstring, I know that's the sort of thing you want to be careful that you don't aggravate it. And then he's not playing till round one of the playoffs and you're working him back in then or something. So I understand that. I guess my own personal mindset was going into the bye week. When we come out, Kyler's definitely playing. Hopefully Hopkins plays too. I just, for whatever reason, had that in my mind. Now, I agree. It's Monday. If I'm the head coach, I'm going to want to see how they move around because those two haven't played in a month and the team hasn't practiced in a few days. But yeah, by Wednesday, I'd like to hear, Kyler's back.
That is one of the things I'm a little concerned about. Again, I don't splatter easily based on means. I do not. Luke, I'm a guy that I don't overreact one way or the other. Oh, I'm so terrified. That is not me. But I will tell you, I'm very curious. That's a better way of saying it. I'm very curious as to how Kyler Murray comes back from this layoff, so to speak. How does he come back? We all know Dak Prescott, he struggled when he came back. Aaron Rodgers struggled when he came back. Russell Wilson, we're talking about some really good Qs that struggled when they came back, and that's why I'm curious. Well, will this apply to the mighty Kyler Murray as well?
Well, I can tell you, I'd like to see him come back and sort of ease into it. I mean, you're in Chicago. It's not going to be an easy game, but ease into it against a Bears team that looks kind of lost on the field, as opposed to the alternative, which is he comes back Monday Night Football against the Rams, because that's your next game after this is Monday Night Football against the Rams. I'd rather Kyler gets to come back and work his way back and shake any rust off or whatever, and he also gives you a much better chance of beating Chicago. I'd rather that this week.
So,
for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. So the Chicago Bears right now, stop and think about it. Do you think the Bears believe inside that locker room that they're going to turn their season around?
No.
I mean, honestly, it's at this point in time, this is the other part that comes into play here. When the Arizona Cardinals start playing teams in December, like the Detroit Lions, can I tell you right now that you get energized when December rolls around when you suck buttermilk? Yeah, you do.
Detroit must be so energized every December.
Guess what you see? You see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. You see it. This is something I know an awful lot about Basin. I've got a PhD in losing. Unfortunately, I have experienced 5-11 over, and it's like Groundhog Day, over and over, 5-11. I've experienced it a lot. I know what that does. In December, it energizes a locker room where guys are like, okay, you know what? We got four more games. Four more! Sell out! You know, all of a sudden, you get this weird energy because you know this misery is about to end in a matter of weeks and then days. Yeah, so you know what? I always wonder about that, but this is why I think the Arizona Cardinals have got to talk about this as a group as well, as a players-only meeting, getting around, looking at each other, getting all the coaches, all the front office people, get out! All the trainers, get out! all the equipment boys, get out, especially you.
Why are you even in here?
I'm just kidding. Because I love the equipment guys. I always hung out with the equipment guys. By the way, if you want to hide, hang out with the equipment boys. It's awesome.
Why would you need to hide?
Because maybe you just didn't want to talk to a coach. You didn't want to see him. Whatever it was, just go hide. You always go into the equipment room. Never forget that.
How long does that work?
What do you mean?
Well, eventually the coach is going to find you,
right? Of course
they're
going to find you. But yeah, hey, at least I stalled for an hour. But I guess what I'm saying is I think it's important. They stand up and they look each other in the eye as men and say, do you know what we have in front of us? Because I love the Arizona Cardinals. They want to adopt a one-game mentality. We're 1-0. I love that. I think that's huge. That focuses on the process. Isn't that right, Chris Paul? It focuses on the process, the one game at a time. We're going to focus on that, and we're going to take pleasure and pride in that one game.
There's I want to play this.
Did you have Chris Paul?
I have Cliff right here.
Oh my goodness! I thought you had Chris Paul.
Well, no, I was looking.
That's why I gave you the cue right there. Is because I had Chris Paul.
I feel like we should work these things out off the air.
Did I not just say that?
Well, you did, but I don't have it.
Luke, I mean, okay.
I can look.
What do you want to do
here?
Luke?
Do you want?
What do you know? What do you
want
to do?
You want Chris Paul here? You want Chris Paul in the process?
I only said Chris Paul.
Well, there's a lot of Chris Paul here.
Obviously, everybody knows the ultimate goal is to win a championship, but. If you don't enjoy the small victories throughout the regular season, then what the hell are you doing?
Just stop
you know
right
what
there.
I mean? Like, you know.
Just stop right there. Did you hear what you don't even.
Yeah, but you don't. I mean, I don't lose sight of, you know, what it used to be, you know, so I don't take any of these opportunities or these matchups for granted. You know, this is primetime basketball, and, you know, this is what, you know, people pay to watch, people pay to see, and, you know, I'm excited to be a part of it.
Okay, we're going to focus.
That was Booker, obviously.
You know, that was D-Book right there. But Chris Paul, what he played right there, you know what? We're going to focus on, you know, the small victory.
Yeah.
Play it again.
Why not? Hold on, I got to wind this back
you
up.
You guys
again.
Are killing me at this point.
Obviously, everybody knows the ultimate goal is to win a championship. But if you don't enjoy the small victories throughout the regular season, then what the hell are you doing?
How about that right there? If you don't enjoy the small victories throughout the regular season, what are you doing? See that? That is, do you think Chris Paul is just, he's giving you lip service, blah, 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 or do you think he means that?
I think there's a lot to, I mean.
He means that, Luke.
Because I think Chris Paul just loves the game of basketball at the base.
Yeah, but you know what, Devin Booker, don't you walk around here not believing that either.
Booker's starting to sound more and more like Chris Paul. That's why Maloney just played him right there, because he's starting to sound like Chris Paul.
I love that. Well done, D-Book. Don't you walk around DeAndre Ayton not enjoying the small things? This is not lip service. This is the culture that these people believe. That's what I think applies to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals as well. And it's one of the reasons why, and I'll just say this, give me 10 seconds, it's one of the reasons why I would have a players-only meeting today to allow them to focus on, we have a six-game run at the number one seed. That is our goal. How do we get to our goal? Chicago. That's how we get there. And then the next game, and the next, and the next.
FanDuel FanFest, the biggest party in sports, heads to Westworld of Scottsdale December 11th. So head to the contest page on ArizonaSports.com for complete details and to claim your free tickets. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show by going around the NFL. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Wolf and Luke.
You know, Wolf, watching the games yesterday, there was a lot that stood out. Cam Newton getting benched after he just got paid a lot of money and told everybody he was back.
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Boy, can you imagine that right now? What a mess that seems to be. What a mess. This guy is going to be on, you're going to be on the hook for $6 million with Cam Newton. Cameron, And now all of a sudden, yeah, you bench him. That was a nightmare.
Now I'm coming after that Cam Newton.
I'm coming after that
Cam Newton.
Buddy Nix, come after him.
I guarantee. Can you taste that? Can you taste that?
Oh my goodness. I mean, okay, that's enough.
Bloody knuckles.
We get it.
Ding!
Okay, Cam, sit down and take the scarf off. Please.
Every time you mention Cam Newton on this show, sound effects will follow. And they're always just different.
Honestly, I did not expect to hear that. Can you see something on radio?
That was so vivid. Yes, I think I saw
it. Yes, okay.
So anyway, there's Carolina. They've tried to go all in on this season a couple times, adding C.J. Henderson and Stephon Gilmore and bringing Cam Newton back. And now Cam Newton's benched and Christian McCaffrey's out for the year. So I'm going to assume Carolina's not making the playoffs.
Okay, what about the Vikings and the 49ers game? How about that?
We're finally on the same page here.
Right?
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Symbiotic.
Yeah, as the show wraps up.
Okay.
San Francisco is... these are two teams I think are both playoff teams, San Francisco and Minnesota. I think they'll be the last two teams. And that was a good game. Dalvin Cook got hurt and Deebo Samuel got hurt in that game.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting is the 49ers are starting to play a very physical brand of football. After the Arizona Cardinals game, have you noticed that the 49ers now are running the ball like madmen? Isn't that right, Kyle Shanahan? Week number 10. 44 rushes for 156 yards. Week number 11, 42 rushes for 171 yards. Week 12, as in yesterday, 39 rushes for 208 yards and 3 touchdowns. Man, it's like Kyle Shanahan said, what are we doing? What am I doing? Running the ball 11 times against our nemesis, our rival, the Arizona Cardinals, and doing it in our stadium. What a joke.
Well, they're 3-0 since that Cardinals game. They're one game behind the Rams for second in the NFC West, and right now they have the tiebreaker over the Rams because they beat them every time they play. They'll play them again week 18 of the season, which still feels weird. But to your point on the running and my point on Deebo Samuel going down, doesn't sound like he's going to play this upcoming week. In those three games, he's rushed for 181 yards and 4 touchdowns. Rushing Deebo Samuel.
Deebo.
In addition to being one of the best receivers in the NFL. Actually hasn't had a ton of catches the last few games, but that, I think, speaks more to the offense. But he has been he's basically been their lead back.
You know what's amazing about that? I compare Deebo Samuel, and have for a couple of years now, to Anquan Boldin. He reminds me so much of Anquan Boldin. Yes, no doubt about it. He's got probably a little bit more speed than Naquan had, but he's thick like Anquan Boldin was, thick as a wide receiver. And he's a lot more physical than most people give him credit for. Anquan Boldin could have played weak side, inside linebacker. You could line him up as a tailback and have him run power. I mean, he could have done that. And if I'm not mistaken, he did do it from time to time with the Cardinals organization. But why wouldn't you take a guy that runs the ball that well, line him up in the backfield, and give him the ball, especially if you've got a dearth of talent there, the way the 49ers have had? Elijah Mitchell has done an excellent job. He's done an excellent job solidifying that running back position. But, man, they've been up and down with that running back all year long.
Wolf's Playbook for Dummies. Power.
The quintessential running play of a gap scheme.
I love the way Maloney says it, too. Of a gap scheme. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you can't argue it.
Well, the gap scheme is a power scheme. And that's, you'll see the 49ers, they do it all. They run it all. And they're running it all right now. 44, 42, 39 rushes in the last three games. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan said, that's enough.
Yeah.
What am I doing? By the way, I got Jimmy G as my cue. And right now I've got a defense that is starting to look like the 49ers defense again. That combination makes them players going forward.
That's the thing. I mean, if you look all the way back to October 3rd, they've lost to the Cardinals twice since then and the Colts once. And they beat everybody else. I do want to see how effective that offense is without Deebo Samuel, because there's not a lot of players in the league where so much of the offense runs through them like it has with him. But you mentioned Eli Mitchell. He's gotten a lot better over the last couple weeks. He's getting healthier, it feels like, over the last couple weeks. They got Seattle next Sunday. Seattle plays tonight. I mean, Seattle's not, I guess, done, but it was funny. They flashed up a graphic on one of the screens in here before while we were talking, and they had, I mean, every team is still in the playoff race because seven teams get in each conference, yeah. Right? And there's an extra game. So they had the seven playoff teams right now in the NFC, which, again, are the seven I predicted last week, and then seven other teams that are in the race.
Champion your victories. Ignore your defeats.
And then Seattle wasn't even in either of those lists of seven in the NFC, because it's them and Detroit right now, which seems a little harsh. Detroit hasn't even won a game.
Well, that's what happens when you're 3-7.
Yeah, I mean, they're
4-6.
I did see DK Metcalf tweet out 7 in a row earlier.
3-7, DK.
Which is what it would take.
I have to laugh. Because I've been there, and I can laugh.
Anybody else really stand out to you yesterday? Tampa Bay coming back and beating the Colts was kind of a reminder that they're not going to melt down. Some of these other teams, like, I feel like Dallas might be on the verge of melting down. Tampa's not.
The Patriots, of course, are so impressive. Oh, my goodness. They've got a rookie quarterback who literally looks like Tom Brady play. Do you know what the odds are of that? How incredible that is? Yet that is the truth. And I can't get over it. And they're running a 1985 offense for the most part.
It works when you don't give up any points ever.
Well, yeah, that and the fact that we're just going to bloody your nose because you got a linebacker who weighs 218 pounds. Great. Oh, yeah, he can run a 4.48, but watch this. We're going to run right over him. Very interesting to see the rest of the league go the way of the spread, so to speak. And yet, here's Bill Belichick. Well, we're just going to go ahead and we're going to line up in 21. Bloody your face.
I'm a little worried. I like watching the Patriots right now, but if the Patriots are going back to like a Super Bowl already or within the next year or two, Patriots fans are going to be insufferable. But I don't know that there's many teams I would take in the AFC over them right now. Like, Kansas City might be getting it together. Baltimore is good. I like the Colts. I'm not going to write the Bills off, but man, the Patriots look good right now. They've given up 26 points.
How about the Miami
points.
Dolphins?
Oh, 4 in a row, huh? That's not bad.
What's going on, Tua? That's the question.
The AFC's all bunched up over there.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Aaron Maloney for producing the show. Jesse Morrison behind the glass for Wolf. I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo coming up next right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.